In our final segment, we're going to do something very similar to the last week. In fact, almost exactly the same thing. We're going to talk to Gordon Novell, the infamous private investigator who has been in on many of the official Washington secrets over the years. Now, he's never really been employed by the U.S. government other than a retainer by some people who are connected to the U.S. government. But that's the way it works in the conspiracy business. You always try to get a third or fourth party, water things down, dodge accountability if at all possible. Gordon Novell, Anthony Sanchez, the man who owns Scepter Radio Network, and yours truly, Jerry Pippin, all have something in common. We suspect that we've had a biological attack on ourselves. In the first segment, we talked about biological warfare and some of the outrageous things that might be planned, and things that they're spending good, hard-earned tax dollars on. That seems like they're right out of a grade B movie. Well, what happened to Anthony, what happened to Jerry, and what happened to Gordon also seems like it came out of a grade B movie. Biological attacks on people in the media. Is that possible? Anthony Sanchez suddenly was given a strange brew, a drink, when he was covering Dulce. He was near Dulce at the time, as a matter of fact. And right after that, his face became frozen, he had a high temperature, and he almost died. Last February, when I was doing some shows on the same subject and other conspiracies, suddenly a malady struck me. Started out innocent enough, just a small infection in my arm, but by the end of the week, I thought I was going to die. And the doctors, they couldn't figure out what was wrong. All they knew was I had a strange brew of very nasty stuff suddenly appearing in my blood. Fortunately, I survived. I do have some health issues that I think can be traced directly back to that incident. But can I prove this? Of course not. And now Gordon Novell has been in the hospital and may still be as we do this broadcast. He has a strange blood poisoning, something that's infected him drastically. I believe he even had a toe or maybe a foot removed. Gordon, we hope you get well and get back to doing some private investigating for us. We're going to close the show with an interview I did with Gordon Novell about conspiracies and why he takes it so seriously. Listen closely. We start out with Gordon explaining a little bit about conspiracies and what he's seen firsthand.
We're heading into a military police state, and even the local cops have got to have their Gestapo fascist tactics, and I don't want to call them the real names I'd like to spew out to them, but they're just fascist, illegitimate sons of
Do you think this has been... It seems like we've been progressing that way all along. Is some sort of plan...
They want to put us under a military police state condition. I really believe that. That's why I believe they did 9/11. I'm a fan of the big conspiracy at 9/11 too. I saw them do it at Waco, so I know.
You just mentioned something. You mentioned Al Qaeda. Back there in the Carter administration, I think you were involved in some terrorism investigations or something. Right? Freeing a hostage or something.
Yeah, I got a hostage out of Beirut. That was, I don't brag about it, but it was a very rough proposition.
Well, didn't they catch you during the process of it?
Yeah, that was the idea. I had to get caught.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I didn't go in there.
How do you volunteer for something like that?
By somebody writing a check for $50,000. That's how. Give me the $50,000, and I'll go do your deed.
And so you did it, and they released you too. Obviously, you're here.
They like me. They were impressed because I had a letter from Khomeini that gave me authorization, a fatwa letter, to get this hostage out.
Was it a real letter?
Oh, yeah. It was from Khomeini. They held me in prison for a couple of weeks while they checked the letter out before they released the hostage for me.
And so you're no stranger to danger. What's the most dangerous thing you've done?
fooling around
with
some,
on the show.
Fooling around with some women that I,
oh, you know, I
wish I hadn't fooled around with.
Well, hey, well, you know, you ended up in
court. I had
court,
some good time.
You had one time over women, so we don't want to get into that subject.
Yeah, I married a couple of beautiful ones. It's a mistake.
Well, that happens.
Yeah.
I like the charm of it all, huh?
Yeah, but that's so.
Well, that goes back because you went to Hollywood early on. Were you going to be an actor, producing and directing?
Yeah, but.
Well, you had to deal with some unsavory characters like that in New Orleans, too.
Oh, yeah, well,
I meant if the movie was even close, when they're talking to you about it, you were out there doing a lot of things. I'm talking about the JFK movie now.
Oh, yeah. I got kind of close to that. That was a little bit. I got too close to the candle for the flame. Yeah. The flame is a little warm. Next thing I know, I go from being Garrison's chief of security one day to his most important material witness the next day. That's quick.
Now, I understand that. Now, you really feel, don't you, Gordon? And you know, I know you know deep in your heart and probably have evidence for it, that the same people that did Kennedy and are still around doing everybody else.
I would have to believe that, based on what I know, that the people who whacked Kennedy were a combination of the German Galen organization and probably Majestic 12 and some folks from the FBI, because they had to cover it up, and the mafia who probably pulled the triggers.
As your good friend Jim Morris says, all of the suspects.
All the suspects. Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, they had a nice little show going there.
It's not easy to get here. Gordon ended up taking a bus.
Yeah.
It's not easy to get here at all. Now, Gordon, I took a bus here once.
Yeah.
That's the reason I knew about the bus station in a major. They shake everybody down, and then they go down about 60 miles, and anybody can get on that bus if wanted to. So
yeah,
it's kind of
like
silly.
I said, you know, what?
It seems to me that we've had lots of strange things like that happening over the years, and this Homeland Security issue all the way around looks like it's just a way to make money.
It's a farce. I mean, the whole system today is a grand farce. I mean, all these. Let me have the terrorists. I would rather have my freedoms, and you can scare the hell out, and let the terrorists go ahead and scare the hell out of me. But let me have my freedoms. All right. Don't fool with my freedoms. I'll take my risk with the terrorists. Don't worry.
Speaking of freedom, you were involved in Watergate, and you almost lost your freedom.
Yeah, well, I almost went to jail for conspiracy to obstruct justice and erasing all the tapes. So I was accused of that, and I was guilty. So
yeah, so you're going to confess now?
Yeah,
it's
well,
past the statute of limitations.
Yeah, well, past the statute. Yeah, but I managed to counter intimidate Jaworski and threaten to expose his hand.
That's a special prosecutor.
Yeah, he wanted me to come home, and he was very angry at me for conspiring with Colson to erase all the tapes. And
what kind of guy is Chuck Colson, really? I guess he was rotten then, and he went to prison and turned out to be a minister.
No, I liked him when he was rotten.
I can tell that.
He's a real human being. Yeah. I mean, anybody that walk over his grandmother and step on his grandmother to get a president elected is my kind of guy. But, you know, he was real friendly until he got to prison. After he got to prison, he ratted me out on the tapes thing about. And I don't know whether that traded him some years. I hope it did. But
what was going on with Watergate there? I mean, it seems like it's such a minor crime.
Watergate was a totally bogus operation. It was caused by USA versus Novell for interstate transportation of electronic intelligence equipment in Reno in 1969.
Now, you're pretty good at electronic intelligence, right?
They say I am.
Okay, I have. So
some people say I am.
Well, I've heard that before. It's the reason I said that.
Yeah,
I've said that. So you've done your share of
this
sort of stuff.
I've heard some.
Can you give me a little background?
Well, it started off with me developing a machine that I put in the Oval Office at the White House that made it impossible for foreign agents to bug the president's conversations, or a sleeper agent on the National Security Council walking in and tape recording the thing. that in turn got me into other things. But yes, I have made surveillance equipment in the past, the best there ever was. I invented about half of it.
You're no stranger to technology.
No, right? No, I like technology.
And so we're talking about Gordon Lovell, who's been involved in all kinds of government intelligence and counterintelligence operations, but at the same time, you got a brain there. You've done a lot of developing of a lot of different things, including all this intel equipment.
Yeah, well, I've done some interesting stuff in the past. So we like to. I've built some technologies and got some patents that worked out and keep me afloat. Nickel a here or two, you know.
But there are good guys in the CIA, in other words.
Yeah, in fact, I got to tell you that the CIA is like a bunch of Eagle Scouts. They're my favorite bunch of guys because they're all patriotic. Most of them that reported about the weapons of mass destruction were not there. Our guy wrote 14 reports and said, hey, they're not there. It's BS. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I did everything I could to stop the invasion, but Ramsey and I don't have drag enough weight to overcome the likes of a Rumsfeld. 9/11's bogus. It's bogus skits. I mean, it's Kennedy all over again. Just a big. They've learned how to go from killing a president to killing off 3,000 Americans.
Did you think they planned 9/11 the way it turned out?
When I saw that building number 7 come down that afternoon, I knew that all was bogus because you can't wire a building and blow it up that quick. And why did they blow up the building? There was nothing the matter with the building. There was nothing the matter. That guy just collected insurance. That guy, Paul Silverman, or whatever his name is a gangster.
Yeah.
They're criminals.
And Silverstein.
Silverstein,
If we're going to get sued for libel, we might as well do it right.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Silverstein is a crook. He's a crook who insured the buildings and got his money and took them down.
You went to Waco and you did an investigation. And our buddy Bob Ricks of the FBI, we've had a few run-ins, but you not like you.
I always thought Mr. Ricks was a major league war criminal.
And he
killed a bunch of babies and women and children. Gassed them, shot them, burned them alive.
And you guys went to court on that case. And you had to do it civilly, right?
Yeah, and the judge that we had to face was the judge who engineered it to begin with, Walter Smith. He's the one that caused it. He's the one who actually caused Waco to happen. So how could we win? And then the Fascist Fifth backed him up, and the Supreme Fascist group up there that Bush appointed, they backed them all up. You can't beat the government. If you catch them dead-handed, they're going to let them go. That's why 9/11, I don't know if we could get them to confess, I'm not sure that would help.
It seems to me, and when we're talking about these things, and you've been involved since the early 60s, were you ever, did you come on board after the Bay of Pigs or before?
During.
During, okay.
Yeah. I got accused of burglary of an ammunition dump with a whole bunch of CIA materials with CIA stamped all over it, stamped in our arms, which was a CIA proprietary.
Did you?
By Sam Cummings. No, we didn't burglarize anything. We just gave the Cubans what I was told to give them. My control just happened to pop up. I had a drag strip, and the bunker was out there filled full of these neat explosives, and we just backed the truck up and took them all out, sent them over to Cuba. Boom, bang, went in for the Bay of Pigs. They were diversionary explosives. But later Garrison found out about it and charged me with burglary. But nobody ever prosecuted me because I didn't steal anything. Can't steal what belongs to you.
That's a good argument. You've had a special relationship with Ramsey Clark all this time.
Yeah, I've been Mr. Clark's Doberman since about 1966, 67. I started working for him when I was coming out of the White House. Well, I do have those CD-ROMs I told you about.
Yes, you do. You have a little insurance.
Yeah, I have a little catastrophe insurance is what I call it. If these CD-ROMs got on the web, the stock markets would crash in a month in very rapid order.
You just heard Gordon Lovell explain how he's still here. A lot of people have been listening to this conversation saying, well, if that's really happening, how come they didn't just knock him off? Because they do knock people off, right?
Yeah, well, you know, you don't kill that which is going to destroy you.
That's Gordon Lovell, and Gordon, we hope you get well. And folks, our time's up for this week on the Conspiracy Hour. Don't worry, there'll be plenty of conspiracies to talk about. Here in the 21st century, there seems like there's one on every block, huh? Thanks for listening. Until next week, cheers.